there is nothing. Oh, how easily we are discouraged. There is nothing. And so he prays some more. And he sends him back a second time.
Chapter 18.
And the second time the servant comes back.
I'm going to pick it up with verse 43.
Elijah said, "Well, you see." He said, "Sir, I see nothing." A third time he goes back. And most stories end on the third time.
Sort of where we left off.
A third time he goes back and there's...
Verse 43 of 1 Kings 18 says, and he said to his servant, this is Elijah speaking to his servant,
"Nothing. Most of
us say,
'Well, must not be God's will to rain.'"
Look toward the sea.
Elijah was
and he went up and he looked and said, he'd spend the last
3 years, the only communication he had was with ravens and God.
See,
God had hid Elijah from Ahab and all of his people. He had hid him away. He was preserving him out there by that brook. The seventh time, Elijah prayed again. And he said, "Now go look." And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, "Behold, there arises an itsy bitsy little teeny cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand." It does not say it was the size of a man's hand. It says the size of a man's hand. There's tentacles. There's things coming out of it. And look at Elijah's response. Most of us would say, "Well, that's not going to do it." But look what Elijah says. Immediately, Elijah's faith kicks in and says, "Hey, you better go tell Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down out of the mountain, that the rain stop thee not." He says there's going to be a gusher. "You better tell the king to look out because it's on its way." He just saw a hint of it out over the sea. And yet once he saw the hint, hear me, there's a lesson here, friends. Once God starts a project, he'll finish it. All Elijah needs to see is just a little bit of that cloud. And he says, God started, he'll finish it. Go tell Ahab. Hallelujah. Next verse. And it came to pass. It is the answer to there is nothing. The enemy will tell you your prayers are doing nothing. And yet, in the chapters of your life, if you'll hang in there and continue to believe and pray, it shall come to pass. And it came to pass. In the meanwhile, that the heaven, now just not looking like a man's hand, but the heaven was black with clouds and wind. Listen, I don't know how many times you got to pray for something, right? Naaman went down 6 times. He came up and his leprosy was just as bad as it was when he jumped in the Jordan River. But on the 7th time he came up and he was clean. I don't know how many times we got to go, but we got to go enough. We only need to get enough. Whatever that number is, it doesn't matter. God will answer. You'll see in a minute, God will answer. And it came to pass. Wind blows up the black clouds, and what? There was a great rain. 3.5 years, nothing. But now, at the behest of Elijah, there a great rain comes and begins to drench Samaria. It runs down. It refurbishes all the creeks and the rivers and the streams flowing down out of Mount Carmel. It begins to fill them all in. They used to be dry ditches, but they are dry ditches. No, are you hearing me tonight? They are not dry ditches any longer, for God sent the rain. Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, where he ruled out of. You know, at one time in this nation, there was a great rain. More than one time, there was great rain. Spiritual rain. Great, wonderful, sustaining rains. There was a great rain in New York City. A man started a noon prayer meeting in a church. He was not a minister. He was a businessman. He started a noon prayer meeting. One person came that first noon hour, kind of like our prayer meetings here on Saturday night. And he said, well, that's good. Somebody came. The second day, they're praying, and two, three, four people came to that. The next day at noon, they would shut their shops down in New York City and come. And now, that third or fourth day, there's 40 and 50 businessmen in the middle of New York City praying, crying out to God. And God is hearing them pray, and He sends the rain. As the time went on, by a month into this thing, they could not put all the people in that one church. And somebody said, hey, can I have an extension of this prayer meeting? I'll have it in my church. And so a church down the street joined with this noon prayer meeting, and they had a noon prayer meeting. Pretty soon, both of those churches were packed to the gills from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. because God sent the rain to New York City. And church after church after church in New York City opened up their church at noon. On every Monday through Friday, they'd open it by noon. And every church that did that was packed to the gills with people that came and prayed, and the rain started. Hallelujah. Once God starts the rain, look out. Hallelujah. That thing spread all the way across the country. We've experienced some rain in our land. A great rain came down in Kentucky called the Cane Ridge Revival. It brought people from all over, buggies and wagons and horse-drawn things. And the Presbyterians had a hand in that. But they just wanted God. They all met there. In a beautiful, no, it wasn't beautiful. It was an open field. They had an open field. And they didn't know if anybody would come. It was kind of a conference that the Presbyterians once a year would have communion together. It was just like a little conference for the Presbyterians, but they had invited. And there was some other preachers that got involved. And the first day they were there, they didn't know what to do. The wagons just kept coming. And so they had preaching points all over this huge field. They'd have four or five preaching points. Ministers from different denominations actually working together. And they said, listen, we're just going to preach Jesus. Don't worry about your denomination. Let's just preach Jesus. And as they're preaching Jesus, the rain of the Spirit began to fall. And people began to literally fall. That's where they talk about getting slain in the Spirit. The conviction of the Spirit of God was so heavy that it would overtake people and thrust them to the ground. And they would stay there and weep their way through to salvation. Not once or twice, but hundreds of people. And the more they came, the more the rain fell. God's not happy with a little dab, do you? He wants to do great things. It rained along the East Coast even in the 1600s, where entire cities, listen to me, entire cities repented of their sins. You read it in your history books. It's there. I'm not making this up. Bars in these cities closed down, not because of a protest, or not because they made a law against it, but because everyone in town found something better than booze. They had found Jesus. Hallelujah. And He satisfied their soul. It's amazing to me today that we have to discuss whether drinking of alcohol is good or not, or acceptable or not. Let me tell you something. When you've got something better than alcohol, you don't need it. You don't want it. There's no use for it. Ah, hallelujah. I got the Holy Spirit instead of imbibing in the spirits. I got something better. I got something better to put me to sleep at night than a glass of wine. I've got something better to help me have fun. Hallelujah. Get full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It rained in Kansas. And then it rained in Texas. Now,
I was going to do a little illustration, but I'm just not that good. But what happened in California? The rain that had come moderately across the rest of the nation became an outpouring. You understand there's a difference between being sprinkled on rain and an outpouring. If I stood here and had a little sponge that was damp and I squeezed it and you got a few drops of that, and over here I have a big pitcher of water and I said, stand over here, and I poured that over your head, you would be two different states. There was an outpouring in California, like I'm not sure since the day of Pentecost people experienced. It changed the spiritual landscape of America. Azusa Street, Los Angeles, California, of all places. Couldn't God pick some better place than that? But that's where he found the Elijahs, putting their head between their knees and say, this country needs a move of God. We need a heavenly rain to come down. We got all these problems. We got freed slaves that don't know what to do with their lives. We got freed slaves that don't have any purpose and are still being treated as slaves. The white man and the black man can't get along after that. And God said, watch. And in the midst of the rain of Azusa Street, black people, brown people, and white people came together and got baptized in the Holy Ghost together. And a wonderful, glorious outpouring came so that people came from all over the world, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and took it back from wherever they came from. And the pouring went with them. Wonderful things were established out of that. And sometimes I wonder, was that so strong that it has sustained us? It rained, however, in the 20th century. In many different locations. It rained at my grandpa's church. It rained at Batavia Assembly of God. It rained in my grandpa's church. And in the raining, where God was raining in that church, glory to God, it's the church where my parents got married. It's the church where my dad became a Holy Ghost man. He was a Christian before, but he became a Holy Ghost man. And that where the rain was falling in Batavia, New York, my dad became a Holy Ghost man, called to preach the good gospel of Jesus Christ. And it continued to rain. It rained where my dad pastored. It rained long and it rained hard. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Long and hard raining. It just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. You could not keep the people away. They would come. They would come at all times. Well, I've told you this before, but on Sunday morning we'd have a tremendous, the Lord would rain down on us. We didn't go 2 weeks without somebody getting saved or somebody coming back to the Lord. And we never went a month without somebody being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Soon after I was baptized in the Holy Ghost at 11 years old, I was called to preach. And my dad said, well, why don't you preach next Sunday night? I'm 11 years old and I'm just a little bit shorter than I am now. We brought a step stool from home. It wasn't really I don't know what it was. It was not a stool as you'd think of it. It's like a stool that you'd put in front of an easy chair. You put your legs up on it because it had legs and stuff on it. But I got up there. And this is how you know it's not the guy. It's the rain. And I preached about Jonah and being obedient to God. And because Jonah was obedient to God, I remember that was my first sermon. And how Jonah's obedience saved the city. And I told those folks on that Sunday night, I said, listen, if you'll be obedient, God, He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. And the first six people that got to the altar were baptized in the Holy Ghost that night. The rain was falling. And they kept coming. This young lady in the front row here came with her dad and mom and
her family. And it wasn't very long after before she was baptized in the Holy Ghost and Debbie became a Holy Ghost person. We weren't ashamed. We weren't afraid of the Holy Spirit. This nonsense in a dry land that we live, that we're afraid of the Holy Ghost. We're afraid of Him, His operation and His moving, because we're worried about people getting too emotional and we'll get off our program. It's absolutely a lie from the pit of hell. I don't care who you are, what title you hold. It's a lie from the pit of hell. The lifeblood of the church is the operation of the Holy Spirit. You can't get saved without Him. You can't get filled without Him. You can't get delivered without Him. You can't get healed without Him. And it is Jesus Christ's greatest gift to the church is the Holy Ghost. It rained in Missouri, CC. It rained in Iowa, Jamie. It rained in Michigan, Tammy. It was raining in Ohio. It was raining. We didn't know what... I didn't know... I kind of lived a secluded... We didn't know this was happening all over the United States. That the rain had come. It was everywhere. And those of you that were a part of it, at least my generation, we got used to the rain. I'm not saying that we took it for granted, but we sure got used to it. And the rains coming. Hallelujah. At the same altar, there would be a pack of cigarettes, a flask of whiskey, crutches, or canes on the same altar. Hallelujah. It's not because we were great men of God, it's because the rain was falling. Sometimes you don't understand it until you've got to go what we've been going through. When you have to go live through the dryness of the spiritual Sahara that we've been going through. Nobody shot me down, and I don't want you to. But it was a true, honest to goodness outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And it kept coming, and it kept coming, and it kept coming. Even though we did some stupid things, the Spirit of God was still there. Oh, but we got smart. We have technology. We have computers. We have algorithms. We have demographics. We know what we're doing. We began to think that we had something to do with how good we are. And ever so slowly, hear me now, good God, ever so slowly, sometimes it was so slow that it's not perceived, the rain began to let up. It didn't pour quite as often. It's a little less. And the more man took control, there was a little less time for rain to come. Like Israel of old, they went from the dancing of King David before the Lord and the holy glory that lit the sacrifice at the dedication of the temple of Solomon, when the glory of the Lord filled the temple that men could not go in there. They went from that to the rain lightening up as they went along, until generations later you have Ahab in a famine. Nothing comes easy in a drought. If anybody should know that, we should know that. Nothing comes easy in a drought. I don't know how much you believe in the prophetic. Most of it's nonsense today. Most of it is evangelists trying to raise money, and they'll tell you anything. Oh, you're going to touch your generation for Jesus Christ. You're going to be a game changer. You're about to break through. I'm sorry, it's nonsense. I don't need somebody else to tell me whether I'm going to break through or not. In 1996, Deb and I got the call to come to Arizona from the Lord, not from the district, but from the Lord. I approached the district because I felt that's what the Lord wanted us to do,
Nobody knew about this. My kids didn't know it. Only Deb and I knew about this. We're at the altar on a Sunday night at our church, Victory Full Gospel Church in Akron, New York, Akron Road, middle of nowhere, and beautiful church. And the Sunday night, we had this evangelist, Sibby Fodi, who has passed away now. He's a young man. But Deb and I are at the altar because, like, we really want to know this is God. We do not want to move ourselves and our kids all the way across the country. We knew no one out here. Nobody was waiting for us with open arms to welcome us. None of that. We wanted to know it was God. And I've often tried to make this, what happened next, fit. So this guy is 6'3", 320. All right. Offensive lineman. And we're there, and suddenly I feel this like shadow behind us, a large shadow. And in front of everybody, he said, "Pastor Scott and Debbie, I see you in a dry place, a very dry place, and there's huge cracks in the ground because of the dryness of it." And we're like, Arizona's really dry. And he's saying this, he says, "But then I see you weeping over the dry land. And I see your tears hitting those cracks. And those cracks filling in with the moisture. And I see a giant oak tree growing until it is a giant oak tree and you can hardly see the very top of it. It would be an oasis in a desert." And I'm trying to be a believer, but I'll tell you something. I haven't seen that yet. We've been here 30 years. And several times I said, "Lord, how long? How long are we going to have to labor in the dry ground? How long are we going to have to labor?" The Lord, he's so smart. He says, "As long as it takes." Somebody has got to put their head between their knees and cry out to the God who cares that we can't stand the drought any longer. Because drought makes everything hard. Seed tends to lay on the dry ground and not germinate. You see, dryness makes something hard. You dry it out and it hardens it. Moisture softens, but dryness hardens stuff out. And so that seed can't get into the ground. That's why it's easy for Satan to come and take the seed away, because the ground is dry. It's easy for thorns to grow up because the ground is dry. It's easy for the stones to come and choke out the seed because it's dry. The wet ground, the moisture, the rained on ground becomes soft, and when the seed hits it, now it has an opportunity to germinate and grow up into the stalk and the blossom and then the fruit. Come on now. The seed was good in all of those cases. But it gets killed in all three of them. But the fourth one, there's moisture there because the rain of God has come and prepared the land. We are on dry ground, and I hope you don't think I'm complaining. I am not complaining. I am stating. We are on dry ground, and it makes all of ministry difficult. I have the best church in America, and it's still difficult. That's a tip of the cap to my dad. He is, "I passed the best church in America." I guess the people liked it. They kept him around for 45 years. All ministry is difficult. It seems in this day and age you have to lure people to the Word. instead of just offering it. You have to entice them with something fleshly in order for them to come and maybe hear a little bit of the word. Not too long now. They got places to be. They come into the parking lot with their boats on the back of their trucks. It's like, got to get to Lake Pleasant. It makes things difficult. Somebody must be like Elijah. Only the tough survive in the dry. Do you know that the quitting percentage of the pastoral ministry is so high today because we have set such lofty goals? If you're not a mega church within 2 years, you plant a church, you're not a mega church in 2 years, you're nothing. It's time to get out and find a job. And they do. And they quit, and they quit, and they quit, and they quit, and they quit. For me, this thing is a calling. It's not a job. It's not a career. It's a calling from heaven. I don't have the luxury to quit. I just want you to know, I don't have to stay dry. According to my Bible, according to the New Testament of your Bible, if you'll turn to James chapter 5 and verse 17. James chapter 5 and verse 17. I said James chapter 5 and verse 17. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was no superstar. He was nobody extraordinarily different. He says he was like us, Elijah. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. I guess he had to pray for that. It just didn't happen. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. We just shushed the rain away. We squandered the rain. We tried to make money off the rain. We made superstars out of the people who the rain was just falling on. We thought they were somebody. Listen, we're all somebody in the kingdom, but really, we're all nobody. It's all about Him. It's not about the preacher. It's not about the singer. It's not about the musician. It's about the Spirit of the Lord and Him bringing Jesus to us. That's what it's about. He is the chief cornerstone. Not pastor so-and-so. Not evangelist this or evangelist that. Not this person or that. Oh, I love this Bible teacher. It's not about the Bible teacher. It's about the Bible. It's not about who's doing it. It's what the content is. We keep making the same stupid mistake, elevating people while we should only elevate Christ. We keep making that foolish mistake because men will fail you. David failed his kingdom with Bathsheba. Solomon failed his kingdom because he had too many wives that were idolaters. And he would not correct them and throw their idols out. Men fail you. Jesus never fails. As long as we learn to exalt Jesus and what He has done for us and what He's doing for us and what He's going to do with us, we're going to be all right. The rain just might fall. But just as soon as you start putting people's pictures up in order to get you to come to a conference, I wonder if we'll ever see a conference that say, listen, nobody special is speaking. We're just going to have Jesus. We have dried up like a prune because we've ignored that Jesus is the center of it all. Nobody else really matters. We're just all drones. We're all worker bees. But this Elijah, verse 18, and he prayed again. Here's a man like you and me, but he lived in the Old Testament. We're New Testament people. We got the Holy Ghost. He prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, comma, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Oh, hallelujah. When it's raining, the earth's going to bring forth its fruit. Listen, folks, and I'm trying to wrap this up. Evil leadership, but mark this down. evil leadership leads to drought, especially in the spiritual realm. When you have leaders, bishops, the like, titled people, superintendent titles, whatever you want to call them, if there is wickedness there, it brings forth a drought. And suddenly, we can't understand the right from the wrong, the good from the bad. We don't know which way is up. And we're grasping at straws and here and there, trying to get this speaker to come in to bolster the attendance so we can get a better offering. We are chasing, literally, we are chasing our tails. And it is absolutely foolishness. Quit calling your... And what really bothers me, I shouldn't even say this, but it really bothers me, is that on a fellowship basis, we've incorporated the corporate model to tell your workers how much you appreciate them and how wonderful they are. Thank you for doing such a good job. I listened to it for 20 years in the corporate world. You guys are doing such a great job, but we're going to have to lay 10% of you off. It is verbiage. It means nothing. Listen, that's your job. What means something is what you take home in your paycheck. I don't care if you thank me or not. Pay me. I hear the same verbiage. Oh, you pastors are doing a wonderful job. Oh. Good boy. Good boy. And then we'll pull the rug out from underneath you if we need your building. Oh, man. Jamie, you should not have talked to me on the way out today. You should have not talked to me. Now we've gone into the corporate immorality. I am not guessing at this. I'm not making it up. This is not third-party stuff. It's what I know to be true. We are destroying the little church out. We wait until the... And I'm sorry if this ticks people off. So be it. We are waiting until the church is on difficult times and they get small and then they come under district supervision. And what they do is they send somebody in there that they don't like so it will get a little bit smaller until someone higher up says, you folks ought to sell that property, cease to be a church, give the money to us, and we'll go on. And the quote leadership is making $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 a year just in salary. Drought comes when there's wickedness in leadership. Our leadership's got to come to the altar and get repented and saved again. They are running after the world because they don't have the one thing that we need. And that is the power of the Holy Ghost. And the power of the Holy Ghost does not reside with the wicked. They do not reside with people that are scamming other people and manipulating things so they can put money in their own pocket. The Holy Ghost will stay miles away from that. But Solomon prayed to God and God was right. If my people will leave their rotten, wicked ways, humble themselves and pray. Will you cut it out? Trying to be somebody. Trying to make the circuit. Trying to get your book out there. And it has led to a terrible, terrible drought. It's terrible. I've talked to many different pastors. It does not matter the size. 50, 100, 400, 1,000, 2,000, if they're truthful. Once you hit 2,000, they all lie. I said, how many genuine born-again experiences do you have at your altars? Half of them say, we took the altars out. We have just an area in front of the stage. And okay. But how many genuine, where people left their old life into the new? I told Matt, because Matt, and I talk, and I go, listen, if you have one person that gets born, truly born again, leaves their old life and goes into the new, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. I don't care how big your church is. 2,000. If you get one to actually get born again, walk away from his sinful life like John. One that says, listen, I've had it. I got to get back to Jesus and have them actually serve Jesus. It's a miracle. That's how dry it is. That was a weekly happening. And under the rain, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, people get saved any time. My dad, after Wednesday night Bible study, people would line up, would you pray for me? I need to come to Jesus. I need to quit this. He's praying over people being delivered on Wednesday night after Bible study. When the rain is happening, things are happening, and God will supply all the people that you need. But when we're in a drought because of lousy, rotten leadership, like the kings of Israel, including Ahab, you end up in a drought situation. And unless somebody does something, we're going to stay in a drought situation till Jesus returns. And all you boys preaching about a great revival just before Jesus returns, I hope you are correct. But it won't happen until Elijah puts his head between his knees and cries out to God as many times as it takes. I'm so far off my notes. And so, because we're in a drought, we find ourselves with most preachers getting their sermons on some website. And that website will provide you with everything that you need. All you become, preacher, is a reader of somebody else's notes. They will give you the illustrations and the media. If you want media, multimedia to go with it, they have all of that. For one small price, maybe not so small. There's no seeking the Lord. There's no hearing from heaven. There's no anguish in your soul about what you're going to preach the next day on Saturday. There's no anguish of soul. There's nothing putting anything on the line. It's just you go out and happy, happy day and all of this, and then you got your cute little illustrations and all that, and people that came in dry leave dry. And I'll tell you why. Because they were raised in the dry. And they don't know about the rainy season. They don't know about, they don't even know, our preachers don't know about the rain. They don't know how to hold out for the rain. They don't know how to believe for the rain. They don't. And listen, my generation better wake up. Somebody better listen to those of us that have been in the rain and tell them, son, that's not the rain. Your loud noise is not the rain. The prophets of Baal made loud noise. The volume of your music is not the rain. Your people jumping up and down like they're in the mosh pit, that's not the rain. I know the rain, and that's not it. We got to believe for the rain. And if the rain falls in no other place than this place, all right. Because I can't do other people. I could just tell you, though, people are attracted to rain. They can't, when it's raining, man, they can't stay away. I don't got time to talk about what kind of fruit the rain from heaven brings. But it brings the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit is born out of the rain of the Spirit of God. Is the fruit of the Spirit in your life and in my life. And the people out there that we see every day, they see it and they say, hey, how do you get that? I want some of that love, peace, joy, kindness, meekness. I want some of that. How do I get it? And say, come with me. There's a rainstorm happening this Wednesday. Rod Vincent tells he got saved on a Wednesday night Bible study because in that church it was raining. We need the rain. The glory of the rain of God, the poured out Holy Ghost, has great effect. It changes everything. It changes how ministry is done. Ministry becomes quite easy when you're in the rain. things flow. People aren't looking to exalt themselves or find a position or a title of that position. Not everybody's clamoring to get on the platform. They're just happy to be in the rain.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I feel the rain. I feel the rain. We want to go to church because it's raining there. It's raining the glory of God. The rain, I'm almost done. Honest. Mostly honest. The rain empowers the Word. Let me say it again. The rain empowers the Word. So when the Word goes out and the glory rain is there, it finds people. It does, stirs them. Isaiah 55 and verse 10 says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." We know all a great message is in there. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth." Hallelujah. When the rain, when the visitor walks through those double doors in the back there, and it's already raining inside of this sanctuary, and the word goes forth, he's not going to be able to resist it. Maybe he resisted it a year ago or 2 years ago, but those prodigals will not be able to resist because the rain of God is in the house. "And that word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." That means you preach salvation, people are getting saved. You preach the baptism in the Holy Ghost, people are going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. You preach on healing, people are going to get healed. You preach on deliverance, people are going to get delivered. It's going to happen because there's rain in the house. But God must send the rain. And he will. I said, and he will. But he will not waste his rain. He will not waste it. When the glory of God is raining, every sermon is better and more effective. Every Bible study opens somebody's eyes. Every service is an adventure to see what God will do next. Have you ever been in a place? Several times, I've had people come to me weeping after a Sunday morning service. "I can't come tonight, and I know I'm going to miss something." We've got to bribe people with pizza parties to get them to come. And they're weeping because they can't make Sunday night, and they know something's going to happen while they're not there, and they're going to miss it. Do anybody here know what I'm talking about? We had people that traveled some way to service. They said, "No, we're just going to bring our lunch like old-fashioned people. We're going to bring our lunch. We'll stay in the church until it opens up for Sunday night church because we don't got enough gas to go back and forth twice, so we're just coming once and we're staying all day." Why? Because it's an adventure every service. God's doing something. The chorus says, "Oh Lord, send the rain just now. Come, Timothy, please." We need the fire to burn the chaff and bring forth repentance. Don't expect the rain on an unrepentant heart. God stays away from it like the plague. But if we'll humble ourselves, he'll send the fire, burn the chaff. And as we pray earnestly, he'll send the rain. His rain is restorative. It's refreshing. It brings forth growth. It produces fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. And suddenly, when you open, not that we have hymn books, when you open the hymn book and you see, "There shall be showers of blessing," you know what it means. It's not just a song. You're experiencing showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling.
But for the showers we plead. And suddenly it's there. The showers are there. Your young people are not out smoking dope behind the barn. They're at an altar crying out to God. They're not seeking some way to get away from their parents. They begin to say, Mom and Dad, what do you want me to do? It is a revolutionary kind of thing because the rain is in the house. My last of my last statements here. We must quit. How many times has Jamie preached this? We must quit all man-made methods and ideas. We must put them in a toilet and flush it. That's offensive to some people. What do you mean, man? There's a lot of good ideas out there. Well, they didn't come from the Holy Ghost, so they're not good ideas. We don't need ideas. We need the rain, buddy. Let me repeat myself. We must quit all man-made methods and ideas. Quit them cold. Get your money back if you can. Quit the website, sir. Quit subscribing. Quit. Quit your marketing ideas. Quit. Get your money back. Quit. I didn't say those things were evil. I just said, you've got to quit them. If the Holy Ghost is in it, well, that's different. But if man came up with the idea, mm-mm. And get back to what the Lord would have us to be. Lastly, quit being ashamed of the Holy Spirit. Quit being ashamed. I guess I'm only talking to the Holy Ghost churches or those that purport to be. I'm talking to the Assemblies of God. I'm talking to the Church of God. I'm talking to the Church of God in Christ. I'm talking to the Pentecostal Church of God, the Church of God in prophecy, those that declare the full gospel message. Would you quit being ashamed of the Holy Spirit? If you want to be like a fundamental church, I use the term Baptist, go be one. But if you're going to put the sign on the door, be what you're supposed to be. You're not fooling. Listen, you call yourself a community church or some radical new name, little cutesy name, the table, this or that, blah, blah. And so people don't know who you are, so you can get them in there and you can fool them for a while. It's nonsense. Get back to the Holy Ghost. Quit being ashamed. Believe with all your heart. It's what got you where you were. That's how you got called in the ministry. Get there. Listen. If your church seemingly fails because of it, you're still better off. If people quit coming to your church over it, you're still better off. Because all you had before was a gathering place for consumers. You're no better than Dillard's. You're no better than Walmart. You're no better than any other place that gathers people into a group. And so you have a group and you use the name of Jesus. But you're no better. Quit being ashamed of the Holy Spirit and let Him come in and do His work. Promote the Holy Spirit. Agree with Him. Don't be afraid of people. Don't be afraid of people with money. I thought I was done. Don't be afraid of people with money. People with money think they are superior. They think they can manipulate because they've manipulated so many situations in the past. They think they can manipulate a church situation by their money or their withholding of that money. Pastor, I have a granddaughter that's homosexual. You can't preach against homosexuality. That will offend my wife
and we're trying to love her to the kingdom and all of that. Now, what are you going to do? And they say, well, you know, we'll just withhold our tithe. If you start preaching like that, we'll just withhold our tithe. You don't think that's real? You don't think that's actual? You don't think people don't do that? Fortunately, I've never had a rich person in my congregation, so I don't know. And I've had some people threaten that kind of thing with me. And the Holy Ghost done by that. I said, sir, not only do I not need your tithe, I don't need you. If you're going to try to manipulate me, go manipulate the next pastor, because I'm not moving. I'm not moving off of this Holy Ghost thing. I'm going with him. Because he sends rain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, if I knew how to end this sermon, I would. My last note is here, Lord, send rain. Send rain to North Valley Assembly of God. Send the rain to our sister churches. Send rain to Brother Hector's church in Tucson. Send rain to Brother Jason's church in Bisbee. Send rain to Pastor Matt and Jen's church in Rochester. Send us the rain. We're not smart enough to do the other stuff. We need the rain. My congregation needs the rain. We've got all kinds of ailments. The devil battles us. People fall down. Even after I pray for them not to fall down, things happen. We got all of this and that. We need the rain. There's healing in the rain. There's healing in the rain. There's restoration in the rain. There's refurbishing in the rain. There's glory in the rain. We need the rain. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me tonight? I'm just going to open the altars. I'm not giving, quote, an altar call. I am just opening the altars for people who are kind of like this morning, but we just want the rain. I don't care what we got to quit. I don't care what we got to throw in the trash. We just want the rain. I want to stick my head between my knees and cry out to God until I see a little bit of a hand up there in the sky. What do you got going, Tim?
Are we near the river?
Sure. We're going to have this song, but as we do, find a place at the altar if you want. If you don't, okay, I'm not going to dictate.